Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are a comedic, political, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world in our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
I like how you dabbed while you hailed, though.
It did.
It works. Ali, go fuck yourself. Anyways, we give this podcast to you free every week on iTunes and CurlyNerdy.com. So please, feel free to rate, review, subscribe.
Can we go through this a little faster? I'm hungry.
I'm just going to just give it dead air now, you fucking fuck you. That's it. Just, yep. Nope.
You couldn't help but ruin it for him,
did you? I'm not ruining it. I'm just saying. You take too long.
Nope. Finish it off. Finish it off.
Hi, I'm Ali A. Ilomi. I am the classic nerd of the group. V?
Hi, I'm V.
There we go. Let's get this thing started.
So no,
What happened this weekend?
Fuck you. You don't want... You're always trying to put the artist down. That's your problem. If you was a good man, you'd invest $1 billion in me.
I wouldn't invest shit in you or Kanye.
Fuck you.
In fact, I think if we stopped investing in Kanye altogether, we may actually save ourselves a lot of headache.
You don't care about the artists, man.
I care about real artists.
Y'all are going to realize it when it's too late, like I'm Van Gogh in this shit.
He's not Van Gogh.
I'm Van Gogh.
He's not Disney.
Yeah.
He's
not Generation Disney.
I'm sorry, yeah. When you actually have to say those things about yourself, yeah, you're not.
I'm Pablo Picasso.
No, he didn't say Pablo Picasso.
I know, but I'm just
saying. What did he say? I think he called him, did he claim himself to be Pollock? No, he didn't.
He claimed Van Gogh.
And then he's claimed Van Gogh.
And he claimed Disney.
Yeah. He's claimed another one, too. Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I'm our generation Shakespeare. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah, he is. He puts out dope shit.
No, R. Kelly is our generation Shakespeare because he did that Trapped in the Closet album. It's the whole storyline.
16 episodes.
That's Shakespearean.
Can I just tell you?
There's a midget in there.
There's a midget in there.
There's a gay couple in there.
Someone pissed themselves. It was really good.
He
shit himself.
The entire thing was a disaster. That was literally...
Omar from The Wire was in it.
I want to know what R. Kelly was on when he made that.
I don't know. He doesn't know how to read. Leave him alone.
Oh.
Well, he said it himself. He doesn't know how to
read.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting. I never knew that.
But look, man. I need money to put more dope shit out.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. You're doing satire. Cute. Explain why you're doing satire.
Because I'm in $53 million of debt.
Have a Snickers, Ali. Man, it's snippy.
I'm personally
rich. I'm getting to the meat of the matter. I don't have time for this BS fluff.
It's an hour-long show.
There's no sawdust on this show.
I need to fluff it up, baby.
There's no sawdust and fluff on this show. No. We get to the meat of the matter. None of this pussyfooting around.
You're a piece of shit. I feel like this episode sucks already because of you.
No, this
episode... You're bringing it down. You brought down my vibe, man.
This episode is going to be...
Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
Right on the money.
You're a fucking piece of shit and you're horrible. And he also... Kanye took shots at Taylor Swift, too, which I didn't appreciate.
He didn't take shots at her. He took shots at her in his song.
Yeah. And then she took a shot at him at the Grammys.
Yeah, she did. She said people claim...
What did she do? I didn't watch the Grammys.
First of all, she won. That was her first... That was the first mistake.
Yeah, 1983 or whatever,
I'm curious as how she won over Kendrick Lamar.
A lot of people got upset about that.
Or The Weeknd.
Yeah.
I mean, even I don't follow the music that much. Even but I went well. Like, it's great that everyone likes fucking Taylor Swift, but at some point, get over it, white America.
Yeah, I know. And The Weeknd came out of nowhere, too. Yeah. It was like an indie record.
She's won over and over again. And she's great. I have nothing against Taylor Swift. But she's not doing anything particularly revolutionary or amazing or, like, phenomenal.
Well, all of her music's kind of the same.
It's just really bland.
The biggest robbery of the night was the fact that J. Cole... was the first person in 25 years to go platinum without having a feature like artist, and he didn't win anything.
Whatever. The Grammys are all rigged anyways, but whatever.
Grammy's so white.
So she won. Congratulations to her. Whatever. But in her acceptance speech, she made like a little...
She threw some shade at Kanye.
She threw some shade.
Damn, she's just going after her throat. She's got that Bad Blood song where she's blowing shit up with Ellie Goulding and stuff.
A vindictive person from what I hear.
Yeah, don't fuck with her, bro.
She'll put you in a song. But that's an old thing.
Yeah.
People say never piss off a writer. They'll write about you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very common thing.
Like Chaucer in The Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Dante.
Yeah.
Dante Alighieri. Everyone in Dante Alighieri's people he knew.
Or if you go into the Vatican and one of Bernini's... frescoes. There's a demon in hell that has donkey ears, right? And it's actually like the bishop or something.
But Bernini did a lot of that.
Yeah,
Bernini
yeah.
also like one of the women was modeled after his mistress.
Was it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's Bernini.
Yeah.
Bernini is quite famous for.
I love Bernini. That guy's awesome. Bernini has some of the coolest stuff ever.
Bernini is my favorite Renaissance artist.
Yeah. How did we went from Taylor Swift all the way to Bernini? Yeah,
whatever, man.
Listen, she threw shade back. She gave this little like, people will try to tell you that they're the reason for your fame. Yeah. It's hard, et cetera, et cetera. Because he said, I'm the reason she's famous.
He's like, I can still fuck Taylor. You know why? Because I'm the reason why that bitch famous or some shit.
Which is kind of weird. You interrupted her at an award ceremony.
Yeah.
Which means
one that she won.
Literally. She's winning something. Obviously, she's famous before you.
Yeah.
But that speaks to the ego of Kanye, right?
He's in $53 million of debt.
Are we particularly surprised by that?
Why? He's asking Zuckerberg for money.
But are we surprised by any of Kanye's antics is my legit question.
Well, it's like
he represents the kind of worst of our generation.
Yeah. It's really sad, actually, because in 2004, his College Dropout album was iconic. It's one of the greatest albums. And you listen to the way that he raps and the things that he says in that one, and you compare it to the way that he raps and the things that he says now, and you can see over this 12-year span like how deep of a hole he's kind of dug himself into.
Yeah, the motherfucker's gone psycho, bro. I'm telling you.
I mean, I do think that there is some element of breaking mentally when you're at certain levels of fame, right?
Yeah.
Because you're surrounded with yes men. You only get to see the world from your small circle. Right,
it's true.
Maybe if you're jet setting around the world, it's a different experience, right? It's kind of surreal. But I think with Kanye too, Kanye for me represents, he's kind of on the same boat as Donald Trump for me. He is. He's the Donald Trump of music, and he's the perfect epitome or pinnacle of the selfie generation. This group of people who are so narcissistic, or as a generation, we are so narcissistic and obsessed with ourselves and desperate to somehow make a name for ourselves in the most horrific ways possible. So Kanye may be extraordinarily talented, but all of his talent is overshadowed by the fact that he's a complete and total douchebag.
That's true.
Who thinks he's a god.
I won't support.
He's not that good. The beauty is that there are people who are rightfully arrogant, right? Like you go, genius, right?
Like whom? Steve Jobs?
You just kind of step back and go, genius, right? Right? I don't know if I can name any off the top of my head.
Steve Jobs is an arrogant prick.
But Kanye isn't at that level, right?
Was. I said was.
Don't speak ill will of the dead.
I speak ill about the dead all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe
we're going to speak ill of fucking Justice Scalia in a few minutes.
Don't be unnecessarily mean, but I'm also not into this whole heroic fucking, like, let's make everyone a hero. No, because not everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what I don't understand about Kanye, right, is that he does this, like, I'm amazing, I'm the best of the best.
Mm.
But what does he have to show for? Yeah, his music is fantastic. Did he really create those leather pants? Or what was the pants that he
claimed? Jogging pants?
Leather jogging pants? I don't think so, right? He claims to have conquered the fashion industry is in one of his tweets.
Yeah.
But what does he mean by that? What has he done that, like, I don't walk around. I'm like transformed by Kanye's fashion.
His shoes that he put on.
The Yeezus shoes or whatever.
No, the new Yeezys.
Yeah.
They look like the same shoes that I'm wearing now, except they were in like beige.
And they haven't fundamentally changed anything.
Nike put these out like 4 years ago.
I think what he's mistaking is financial success for cultural impact. And there's no denying he's shaped music in certain ways. Kanye is kind of a pop icon, without a doubt, right?
Yeah, and why did MTV give him an award? Right. Those fucking idiots.
But the question is, has it really fundamentally changed the way we live our lives? I say no, right? So he's mistaking the fact that people are buying his album and he's making millions of dollars with him being a god. I'm like, you do realize there are people who are making more money than you.
Yeah. Hey, you know that guy that owns the record company that he's a part of?
Yeah. Or how about the fact that the Rolling Stones, I think it was Rolling Stones, Rolling Stones made more money last year than it was like the top five album, like top five artists last year was like Taylor Swift, Rolling Stones.
Kanye
wasn't on that list.
Because he didn't put out an album last year.
Well, you know what's crazy? Like, so if you guys know the Stream Music Tidal, right?
Mm.
He's part Jay-Z's owner. Thing. Jay-Z, him, and there's a couple part owners. I think Rihanna's part of it too, but Tidal essentially is their attempt at streaming music like Spotify or Pandora, one of these other things. Only like they're talking about how artists get a better cut of the money and some other crap with it.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it has not done very well.
No.
Now, Kanye offered what Rihanna did this with her album as well. Kanye said that anyone who pre-orders the album the people who are on Tidal get it 1 week earlier than everyone else. So naturally, Tidal's downloads shot up by like something like 10,000-15,000, right? And then Kanye goes out of his way to go, now now the album's only going to be available on Tidal.
Okay.
And everyone got so pissed off at him, they started tweeting literally them on BitTorrent sites downloading the album, like the pirated album and shit. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the whole $53 million in debt shit kind of came through with that, with Zuckerberg and stuff.
Yeah, he said, Mark, I know it's your birthday, but I need you to call me by tomorrow.
Can you read his tweets so we could like get context?
Yeah, I'll read a few of them. Cause there's
yeah, not all of them.
There's a shit ton. Let me get to his Twitter page. He just started off randomly by tweeting out, like, Mark Zuckerberg, I know it's your birthday, but can you please call me by tomorrow? And then he tweets, you love hip-hop. You love my art. I'm your favorite artist. But you watch me barely breathe and still play my album in your house. Kind of saying that he's broke. World, please tweet, FaceTime, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got to do to get Mark to support me. I don't know why he's telling people to FaceTime Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know how many of you have Mark Zuckerberg's Apple ID number to fucking FaceTime him. Mm. But then he goes on to say, I'm this generation's Disney. I want to bring dope shit to the world. I don't have enough resources to create what I really can. Mark, I'm publicly asking you for help. One of the coolest things you could ever do is to help me in my time of need. And I will always respect you for that. And the world will love you. And then he tweeted about his Donda chart. I don't know what the fuck Donda is, but
oh, Donda is like his. It's like this like weird, like technology company, or it's like him trying to invest and becoming like a forward thinking, like a multinational blue chip technological company. So he like does things where it's like he wants to own like restaurants and bars, and he wants to own hotels, and he wants to own, you know, like pharmaceuticals and create new technologies and shit.
He wrote Seven Screen Movie Experience.
Seven Screen Movie Experience, yeah, and emoticon.
Emoticon autocorrect.
Yeah, emoticon autocorrect is one of the big ones too.
Oh, here's the best. You'd rather open up one school in Africa, like you really helped the country. If you want to help, help me. I promise I'm gonna make the world dope. All I do is make shit dope. Hashtag facts.
You know, you're right. He really is like Trump. He goes, I'll take care of it. I know people. I'll do it. I can do this. It's easy.
He's one of those people that thinks that just because you think of something, yeah, you can make it immediately.
Yeah.
After his little rant, he goes, can bra be the girl version of bra?
It speaks also to the kind of the privilege of his money, right? The average person who comes up with an idea has to work hard to build that idea up, to find funding, to find sources of income, to then work with designers or engineers or whatnot to get their ideas off the ground. He thinks of the world. He thinks that he's God's gift to the world. All he has to do is spew out ideas and people will make it, right? And that's it. The world has changed for the better. He'll make the world dope. That's a problem, right? And I have no issues with Kanye personally. I don't care if he gets hit by a car, if he wins another $1 billion. I really don't. But to me, he represents kind of the worst that this generation represents. This type of narcissistic, self-centered, egoistic tendency that has taken over and is fundamentally exacerbated by social media. And it's, you know,
there's
technology.
There's something about these Kardashians. I blame them.
No, he was crazy before the Kardashians.
He got crazier with the Kardashians.
He had a picture of himself as Jesus in his house.
It was always there.
That was the Rolling Stone cover. But
he was always there.
It was always there.
He was always crazy.
It just manifested.
Well,
more.
You can actually see when he had first in 2004 when he had first kind of broke onto the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like shows like Punk'd and all this other shit, and they would ask him about stuff, and you know, you could tell that there was some parts of him that were really just kind
of
odd out there.
Some of his friends claim that he does have issues.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle said when he first met Kanye, he was all weird and shit.
Yeah.
He's like, you knew Kanye was Kanye when you first met him. You could tell that that's the kind of person he is. But, no, the Kardashians, look.
I don't think it's uniquely the Kardashians.
They made Rob Kardashian, like, depressed and overweight. Lamar Odom turned into a crackhead. Bruce Jenner transitioned to a woman, and now look at Kanye. There's something about that Kardashian.
I don't think there's anything. Well,
and Scott Disick is a fucking like alcoholic.
I have no doubt that the Kardashians are a cesspool of iniquity.
Iniquity.
Yeah. But Tyga's banging transgenders and trying to hook up with 14-year-olds, and he dated one of the Kardashians.
What's wrong with sleeping with the person who's transgendered?
Like an underage transgendered prostitute? She's like 17.
Really?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Like a few months ago. And then he was like trying to Instagram message some 14-year-old girl and shit.
So he's a pedophile.
Pretty much. He was dating this fucking 17-year-old for 2 years or a year and a half.
And no one, yeah, but how come no one ever brought, like, why isn't that a bigger issue?
Yeah, how come no one brought that up?
The Tyga and what's her name?
Kendall.
Kendall? Why Kylie. Is that not a bigger
Kylie
issue?
Kylie Jenner.
Kylie, what's not a bigger, why is that not a bigger issue?
Maybe he
I have no doubt that the Kardashians as a group of people are manipulative, self-serving, you know, vacuous, vapid, in all senses of the word, right? But I don't think they made Kanye that way. No, I'm sure just, they have a terrible effect.
It's an internet meme.
Yeah, but I have no doubt, too, that the effect of being a reality TV star, right? The reality TV-ification of life is a problem. I think just Kanye's insane. The Kardashians have nothing to do with Trump.
Maybe.
That's all Trump. But this symptom is a problem, right? This effect that we're having. The Trumps and the Kanyes of the world. They're having to deal with that regularly.
Put on pedestals. All these fucking hateful, weird people are on pedestals. You got fucking the pride of the Philippines, Manny Pacquiao, coming out saying that, you know, that you don't bind the animals that do the gay things.
Okay, stop doing that.
So the gays
racist
are
as hell.
They're worse than the animals, you know?
Yeah. First of all,
I bite the people for the gays.
Okay, first of all, that's just offensive. Second of all, biologically, it's just not right. It's not accurate.
Yeah.
Lots of animals.
Seriously, animals
have same-sex relationships.
Yeah. Gorillas, they have the fraternal organization. The young gorillas have fraternal organizations where they fuck one another until they find women for their harem.
Penguins fuck one another that are
dogs. Bonobos fuck the shit out. That's all they ever do is fuck the shit out of each other. Male, female, they don't care. They'll stick it in.
No, they're not relationships, right? That we don't have evidence. I mean, there's very small evidence of actual same-sex relationships, but they are same-sex. Sexual activity. Yeah. Usually as acts of dominance and acts of whatever.
Oh, yes, yes. Sticking your dick in the animal kingdom is not that big of a social issue.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know if it's not that these people are put on pedestals. It's that we're obsessed. It's like reality TV, social media. We're obsessed with the spectacle of things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we love watching train wrecks. Like, people love Kanye. Not ironically, but because he's insane.
Yeah.
Right, his madness is something that people are like, yeah, more of it. Trump, same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the shit he says. That's why we have this kind of weird reality TV presidential candidate.
Yeah, it actually, I mean, when you think about it, it serves a mental function, right? Because you either, number one, you either feel better about yourself for having a target in which you can kind of spew and be self-righteous to, or you can act like you're a special little snowflake and be the guy who is pro-Trump or whatever else,
right? It's also uniquely, and add to that troll culture, right? So the idea that you like something because it's trolling, right? So like the trolls love Kanye, right? Because he's one of them, they think. Mm. So the kind of the internet meme has become you like things ironically or whatnot, right? Because it's part of this kind of internet 4chan manifestation. So, like, why is Martin Shkreli, why is he a thing? Why does he have any followers?
Because he's a gangster.
Right? He's a douche.
That too.
Just recently, he claimed that he lost, like, 15 million bitcoins because he bought Kanye's album and it was fraud. Turned out he was just being, I don't know, he was trolling people. But in the process, someone stole his credit card and sent him $2,000 worth of lube.
Nice.
Right? So it's like that's the type of culture we've created with the internet. It produces the Trumps of the world. And it produces, and it's not unique to the internet. It's part of all media, right? This kind of this weird selling of the self and human tragedy. Yeah. And like someone like Kanye 30 years ago would be seen as a mental case and seen as needing help. Someone like Trump 30, 40 years ago, would be seen as a person who needs help, right? But today, we look at that and it's entertainment. It's likes, it's favorites. And so that for us, it's great.
Yeah.
We want the Martin Shkreli's of the world, the Trumps of the world, the Kanye's of the world. We need them on Twitter. Why do we follow them, right? Why do we put them on notification alerts, right? Why do we look up their news?
Burn up RSS feeds of that shit.
Why do we give a shit? Why do I care who the Kardashians are dating? Yeah. I don't. But the average person does. And it has an impact. There's this recent study done. Not a study done, but there's this really funny Salon. If you go to
Salon.com, they did these like video series where they went to, I think, University of Texas, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been University of Michigan. I know they're complete in opposite directions, but it was one of those, right? It's one of those in Polar. And they asked them very simple questions, like, who was the vice president of the United States? And they couldn't answer it.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Who won the Civil War? And I think it was in the South. I think it was Texans. Like, we did. The Confederates. So they kept asking these questions. And then they asked, you know, do you know who this is? And she had a picture of Kim Kardashian. That's Kim Kardashian, right? Yeah. It's like, this is are we dumber as a nation type thing? I don't know if we're dumber. We've always been dumb. Humans by nature are dumb. But it tells us something when we put our attention into knowing who Kim's dating or what Kanye's doing or whatnot, but we don't know these really basic things.
It's the government trying to distract us. That's what Chris Rock said. Chris Rock told us that, you know, it's George Bush fucking Paris Hilton in that video. George Bush doing this to distract
us. The government isn't distracting you, but that's actually not the wrong theory.
The system is distracting you.
The system is distracting you. That's actually a very accurate theory.
We talked about that last night.
This comes out of a school of thought that's known as the Frankfurt School.
From Germany.
Uh-huh. It's a group of German theorists that argue that capitalism needs docile workers, right? Uh-huh. What Marx says, the religion is the opium of the masses, he's not saying that it makes people stupid. It makes people comfortable enough to take on suffering, right? To deal with their suffering. That's what religion does. It gives you comfort. But eventually religion loses a lot of its appeal.
So you're saying that God is fake.
No, pay attention. Pay attention in class or I'll fail you.
Well, I'm trying to read between your lines here.
What the post-Marxists say, or the later Marxists, Adorno, Horkheimer, Walter Benjamin, is that it's not religion that's the opium of the masses. It's entertainment that is the
opium of the masses. Yeah.
And so what happens is capitalism goes from just wanting to produce product, physical items like a pen or a table or a chair or whatnot, to wanting to also produce cultural artifacts. Uh-huh. So it reproduces mechanically what was traditionally considered art, right? Why is it that we can now create replicas of things? Why is it that music is, quote unquote, produced, right?
Yeah.
You don't make music like you used to, uh-huh. right? How many musicians today can read music?
True.
Right? How many can't, right? How many of them, when you go see a music video, you see 100 different people went behind it, right? Mm-hmm. How many of them can even sing, right? So this is what's called culture industry. Uh-huh. And the purpose of this is that because if you create this type of entertainment, it keeps people docile, right? You're then culture, according to the Marxists, is a way of keeping the proletariat down. Now, I don't know if I fully believe this, the kind of Marxist theory, but I do say that it's Chris Rock is tapping into this idea that entertainment is a means by which to keep us distracted from the real issues.
Uh-huh.
If we're all obsessed over whether Kim Kardashian, you know, is dating someone or not, or she's got a sex tape released, we're not paying attention to the fact that there is a refugee crisis. For example, that's a perfect example of an issue right now. If I were to go onto Twitter, real issues, that technology, what's fantastic about it is it instantaneously tells me that something is going on in the world. Organ shooting, shooting in Charleston, right? So on and so forth. Hashtag. Yeah. But how long does that hashtag last?
5 minutes. No. A day,
and then it's gone. But do you ever revisit it?
Not really.
No. Right? So, like, the refugee crisis was a big thing for a while, and Europe is still dealing with it. But for the average American, it's no longer a major thing. We're not following what's going on over there.
It's even worse now.
Yeah, we don't see it on TV. We don't see it on news. But we all tuned in the other day in order to watch the Grammys.
I didn't watch the Grammys.
I'm just saying all.
I was getting drunk. Yeah.
And so the Kanyes of the world, the Trumps of the world, the Kardashians of the world, the Martin Shkreli's of the world serve a purpose in the system.
So what you're trying to say is they trying to hold us back.
I'm saying they're deliberately trying to hold us back.
They trying to make it so we docile.
But I am saying that the result of them, the effect of them,
they don't want us to succeed.
Yeah. Now, the counter to that can be that musicians can tap into a great deal of, Kendrick Lamar does this, I think, quite well, right? And other people do it, that tap into to kind of the zeitgeist or frustrations of people and whatnot, right?
Brownie points for mentioning Kendrick Lamar like 3 times.
I know who he is.
You got to be careful, though, because you have the Lupe Fiascos, not Lupe Fiasco, you have the, what's his face, B.O.B.'s. The BOB is talking about flat Earth and shit.
Yeah. So, but the weapon is two-sided, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a double-bladed sword. So that's the question, like, we kind of have to ask ourselves about Kanye. Is that, what purpose does he serve? In my opinion, he's not a great genius. He's not a great... He's a distraction.
Yeah.
He may have put out entertaining music, but he's a distraction.
Well, what's crazy to think about is that all this $54 million shit, all that stuff, people literally were able to tap. We knew about it as it was happening, right? How long did it take for us to realize that Flint was poisoning the children and the people of the city? You know, Flint was poisoning the people.
A year before it became caught on by mainstream media, covered it, and no one paid attention to it. Here's the thing. I don't know anything. You both can attest to the fact that I am I'm the closest thing to being off the grid without being off the grid. While still living on the grid. Yeah, but I'm not connected, right? So I don't know what's usually going on. So when you brought up the Kanye thing, I had no clue, but I had already seen someone mention a GoFundMe campaign for Kanye. I had no idea the context of it. I didn't know what was going on, but I saw that. So it was, I had already reached my feed. I knew it was like I saw the result. If I didn't see the cause of it,
that's marvelous, man. Like, people who don't have nearly as much money giving money to someone who has more than they can ever make in their life.
That's hilarious.
You know, when you start a GoFundMe, the money goes to the person who created the GoFundMe. So whoever made that GoFundMe page is a fucking genius.
No, because GoFundMe makes sure that people don't get... GoFundMe regularly shuts down those things. They're very careful about this.
So right? The people get their money back for that shit?
Yeah, like if they close stuff like that down, it gets returned.
Yeah.
Which is, there's an interesting thing about the GoFundMe campaign, right? Because this is the GoFundMes. This is like going to go in a completely different direction from what we were talking about, distractions and whatnot, but it is quite pertinent. GoFundMe campaigns are fundamentally, they're based off of the microloan or the grassroots funding, right?
That's Kickstarter,
right? No, GoFundMe, all of them are the same, right? Yeah. They're based off of the idea that you get these micro amounts of money that build up to something, right? Yeah. And they're meant to be, at the root, grassroots. Yeah. Bernie Sanders is an example of kind of a grassroots movement. And they've corporatized it, right? The interesting thing is that this is a predominantly left tactic. It's the people on the left that generally rely on things like grassroots. There's not really such thing as a grassroots right movement until recently with the rise of the Tea Party. The right is funded by corporations.
True.
So we saw this weird thing happen with GoFundMe and whatnot, in that members of the state, specifically police officers involved in shooting of black people, right, ended up getting GoFundMe campaigns that would pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
For their lawyer fees.
For their lawyer fees and all that, right? It was a fascinating appropriation of a tactic that was meant to help someone who was a defendant or who was couldn't afford their legal fees, or someone who had died and couldn't afford the funeral fees, right? So that system was appropriated into something far more nefarious. What's fascinating about this is that, I forgot the guy's name, but the guy who raped a bunch of prostitutes.
He's from Oklahoma?
He's from Oklahoma. I forgot his name. I'll look it up as we're chatting. But he got charged, right?
Yeah.
For raping and molesting and sexually assaulting, I think it was like 7 or 17 black women. And the reason they weren't believed was because they were women of the street.
Yeah, right?
So he finally got caught. Now, he was...
Daniel Holtzclaw.
He was... part Asian, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Asian and something else.
Asian and white.
Yeah. He got zero GoFundMe campaigns.
Because he was yellow?
Mm-hmm. And so this was brought up recently amongst Asian American activists. If you ever want to understand anti-blackness in this country, they pointed out, they're like, look, white cops get it. We don't. We need, in our community, we need to address it because there is a very strong lethargy or anti-blackness within the Asian American community, right?
Yeah.
One, it's either complete lethargy because they're the good minorities, right? So they don't have to deal with this so-called oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's outright anti-blackness. But this was a fantastic example of how, in white eyes, Asians are still a minority, right? When it comes down to it, they're still on the other side of the fence.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's depressing as shit.
Yeah,
so fucking depressing.
Had a conversation with
I was ready to, enjoy my white privilege.
Mm. Yeah, I had a conversation with an Asian friend of mine, and he's like,
well, I'm Asian. I don't experience any racism. I was like, because the white people like you. You're the good type of color. You yellow. It's close to white.
And it's not that they don't face any form of discrimination. They do, but it's a far more subtle form of discrimination.
Yeah. Well, it's true because there's more of a... I mean, I get it with my friends all the time, right? And I don't mind it because we're friends, but and I understand the context isn't meant to be hateful, but...
Like when I make fun of your tiny penis and your poor driving skills.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a different form of racism. All races have certain stereotypes that they're focused on. So, for example, for Asians, it's not systemic racism, right? In which a system... Because our system is based off of slavery. Slave labor is literally embedded in our system and our laws, right? Yeah. So... It's not systemic racism that they face. What they face is a form of cultural oppression and racism. So almost predominantly up until recently, all depictions of Asian Americans have been, in our eyes, if we look back on it, quite horrific. Mm-hmm. They're always foreign. They're always comic relief.
Yeah.
They're always effeminate and non-threatening, right? So Asian men, for example, are never considered to be masculine threats, right?
Yeah.
So a common thing, and it's still prevalent today, commercials, right? The only acceptable pairing, interracial pairing, is what?
Black parent, white.
No,
white.
So a white man with an Asian woman.
Yeah, it's true.
For the longest time, that was the only form of interracial pairing you would see on TV. It has then changed slightly, and now you see a black man and a white woman.
You don't see a white man and a black woman.
You don't see a white man and a black woman because it's still taboo.
Yeah, or an Asian man with a white woman.
And you'd never see, rarely see an Asian man. And now it's changing, obviously. You start to seeing it more and more. But for decades, if you go back to the 90s commercials, you'll never see an Asian man with a white woman because that's the predominant form of racism that Asian men faced. Whereas black men were always seen as sexually threatening.
Uh-huh.
Right? As dangerous. In fact, the raping black man is a common motif.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You see it in those old KKK movies.
Right. So, it's a different type of racism. Asian, it seems like it's benign. It's not. It's just as horrific. The difference is that because it's not seen as threatening. Now, why is this? Does anyone know why this is? A little history lesson.
Because of the Japanese internment?
Bing, 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 right there.
God damn it. You just want to bring that up anytime you
Every
can.
Time I have an opportunity, I bring up Japanese, but it's absolutely World War II.
Yeah.
If you look at World War II propaganda posters, Asian Americans were almost always described as ape-like. Ape-like demons that would backstab you. So there was an image, this beautiful image, and maybe I'll put it up on our Facebook page, of an Asian man wearing a specific uniform. It's always a kind of communist-esque looking uniform. Right. Uh-huh. Even though we're fighting Japan, who's not communist, right? Yeah.
But feudalism. That type of,
and they would, and it was he was ape looking, and he was stabbing Lady Liberty in the back because of Pearl Harbor, right? Stabbing, and when you zoomed out a little bit, you could see that she was actually laying out in the ocean, so she is Pearl Harbor. But what happened is that after World War II, we signed a treaty with Japan, so we needed to flip the script. We needed to immediately go from enemies to these people are our allies, especially because we had just interned a whole group of people.
Yeah.
So advertisement almost immediately started talking about the noble Asian, the noble and ancient country of the Asian peoples.
The Orientals.
Right? So it immediately flipped to what's called constructive racism, right? Or non-threatening racism. That's why we no longer see the Asian man as an ape with a knife. We see him as non-threatening to white women. You can be amongst them. They are your taxi drivers, your dry cleaners, right? Like that's the common sort of motif.
Your pedicurist.
The other group of people that are like that are South Asians. Indians are the other group of non-threatening males, right? A prime example of this is Raj from Big Bang Theory, right? He's kind of sexually ambiguous. They always make him slightly effeminate. And he's non-sexually threatening.
Yeah.
Right?
Also,
he's almost as asexual, even though he desires it. He's desperate for it. He's almost as asexual as Sheldon.
You look at, we're going to obviously bring this up a little bit later, but Van Wilder stung Ryan Reynolds.
Yes,
they had Taj.
That's a perfect example.
Who's who's played by?
Now we saw that motif today.
We watched Deadpool. Penn. Huh?
Cal Penn.
Cal Penn plays him, right? Well, also in Deadpool, you have the taxi driver, who's this non-threatening Indian.
Non-threatening. Yeah. He's he's love lord. Lord. And this is a very common motif of. So you see how the racisms are different because India is not considered a threat. There's racism towards South Asians, but it's a different form of South Asian. It's a different form of racism, right? Versus African-American men, which are always considered threatening, right? Mm-hmm. And even African-American women, their sexuality is considered too threatening. So why is it that, for example, Fergie, Taylor Swift, these people, Katy Perry, have these overtly sexual images, right? And Taylor Swift to a lesser degree, but she's up the ante quite a bit. Take Katy Perry. A lot of her music videos, overtly sexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit flying out of her tits and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But that's not considered threatening. It's considered risque. But Anaconda is considered threatening.
Nicki Minaj.
It's too sexual, right? So it's censored. It's critiqued. Why? Why is it too threatening?
Because the booty. The booty hurts people.
It's actually true. It is the booty. Because black sexuality is too threatening.
Right.
So isn't that fascinating how racism works in this different way? This is what people when Asian Americans go, we don't feel racism like you do. It's just so well done, you don't see it. The other group of people that also face that because they're considered threatening is Middle Easterners. So the raping Arab is a common motif. Just today, Poland released a magazine cover in which it showed
The white woman being torn away by the hands. Yeah, being
torn away by brown hand. The raping Arab, right, is still a common threat. And it was also it's weird because it's somewhat it's also plays on desire, right? Because rape is not always meant to be for it's not always evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's also sometimes desired. We're really fucked up society. An example of this is the raping Arab sheikh. It is simultaneously a threat to white male masculinity, but desired by female. Like I wish to be ravaged by a sheikh. The same thing with some of these old black and white movies were in which black men raped white women. There's this idea that the woman kind of wants it. Like this also goes to it. So this is how you see how race and gender intersect, right? White women. They're easily swayed by the barbarians, by those animals.
Wow. So it's like not only are they stereotyping another race, but they're also belittling the intellect of women at the same time. Yes,
at the exact same time. So race and gender, like it's so fascinating how these two things intersect. But that's a little brief history.
Like, I'm just really depressed.
Not only are we anti-white, we're anti-white men.
Specifically.
I don't want the Meninists coming against us.
Bring it.
I don't know, those fuckers in their fedoras, they kind
of
scare me.
You want the ghost of Antonin Scalia haunting you.
Before we move on to Scalia, an example that I want to give about the idea of the desired so-called rape, right? And how rape is, it's not that they want to get raped, but the idea is of how rape represents desire, right? So the bodies of these other people, brown people, black people, become sites of desire, right? An example of this would be the foreign beauty. The exotic beauty, right? So the Arab woman is an example of that. But from a male perspective, anyone here read Wuthering Heights?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Wuthering Heights, Heathcliff is described as what? Dark, Moorish, right? He's also called a gypsy.
Aha.
He's the son of a gypsy.
He's an Arab man.
In fact, in the movie, they say you are the son of an Indian princess, right? And the idea being that the Orient is dark, and he's in that, in the book, he is very menacing. The way he comes at Catherine is threatening. And he doesn't rape her, but there is this kind of menace to the desire, right? It's dangerous. And the same thing with Gone with the Wind. Rhett is described as dark, foreign, from an exotic place. And he is kind of menacing and threatening in his sexuality. And he actually does almost rape her in the book.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you watch old I Love Lucy episodes,
and
they describe tall, dark, and handsome. It's like they're it's like the something like the desired.
Yeah. So this is how race, gender intersect.
So the absolute opposite of tall, dark, and handsome and alive,
short, fat,
Antonin Scalia.
He's kind of dark.
Yeah, he's got an Italian name.
Short. Oh, a dark soul.
Sure, dark soul. Antonin Scalia.
God,
this motherfucker.
Was he the one that said that black people should go to lesser colleges?
He says black people do better at non-elite schools.
Yeah, it was the stay mad, hashtag stay mad Abby, the Abby girl from Texas, about affirmative action. About
so how, he died. Are we supposed to be sad?
I
was like, no, man. I thought we should clarify why we're talking about it. He died. Mm-hmm. He's dead. He did.
That boy did. I have never seen a person get so much backlash for dying online on like Twitter and shit.
Because immediately, so he was in Texas. He, for the record, his last act, literally his last act, was denying a stay of execution. He's that guy, right? Literally, his last act was denying someone.
He was on vacation at Texas that he was gifted by a friend who was recently coming up to do something at the Supreme Court. By the way,
So he's a shady guy in general, right? Mm. So he denies a shady guy in general. The stay of execution right after Ash Wednesday, he dies. Right, news breaks, and of course we immediately go into this. Oh, we'll never be the same. Ted Cruz, an American hero, has died. The result of that is the backlash, right? Is that when you start to glorify someone who shouldn't be glorified, I'm okay with saying, okay, let's give it a couple of days before I rip him apart.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't believe in this whole, I'm not going to speak ill of the dead, but I'm also not going to falsify. Like, he wasn't a hero. The man stood against women's rights, rights for minorities. He stood against equality. He stood against all sorts of things. I'm not going to sit there and be like, man, we'll never have the likes of him. I'm going, thank God. I hope we never have the likes of him again.
Yeah. He is, be gone,
the guy Felicia. Was literally, he was, and the good news is that with him gone, the balance of the Supreme Court is now in the air.
But you got your boy, Mitch McConnell trying to fucking like stall Obama so he can't have a new
But this is justice. A typical GOP tactic, right? They're the obstructionist party right now.
Yeah, they claim they're like, this would never have happened under the Republican Party or Republican.
Reagan nominated Kennedy. Scalia,
Kennedy. Sorry. Yeah, when in his last year. Yeah. No, he said it was his constitutional obligation to do.
It is the president's constitutional obligation to. The question is whether he will be able to do so or not. It's not that he should nominate or he shouldn't. The president will. He already said he will.
Yeah.
The point is whether the will be confirmed. And I think that the Republicans are going to hold out. Now, the irony is that if Clinton wins, she should totally turn around and nominate him.
Yeah.
Obama. He's a law professor. He's got the credentials for it. Now, there is an alternative tactic that some people have been throwing around that Obama might do, is that he'll take a really left judge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll throw the left judge in there as a recess appointee, right? He has to pick someone who's willing to be a recess appointee who knows that they won't be able to fight for the job. Make it a very left person.
Mm-hmm.
When the Senate or Congress comes back, they'll deny it. Then he'll nominate a moderate person as a compromise and get them passed, right? Because if the Republicans fully deny it, they'll hurt their chance. They'll lose the presidency for sure.
Well, how could they? How are they? I thought the president
nominates, but the Senate, but the Republicans, but the Congress confirms.
So that's
it's all checks. They all have to check one another.
I don't like how that works.
But the way it works, he can get votes. He sways people. He campaigns. There's all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
The point is that if they do block, they'll hurt themselves badly because Americans don't want to see that type of
squabbling. Especially given that they shut the government down already. Like this,
especially the court. The courts are supposed to be somewhat untouchable from politics.
Yeah.
It's not true, right? All the courts are just clear as politics as anything.
Well, the fact that Scalia was spending time in vacation for something that was gifted to him from someone who goes in front of the Supreme Court,
Scalia was relatively corrupt. Scalia was also quite openly what's known as a conservative activist, not a constitutionalist, as people claim.
Yeah.
Constitutionalist judges basically mean that if it's not in the Constitution, they won't support it, right?
Yeah.
So they're highly conservative. They're not anti-gay rights or anti this stuff, but they say if it's not in the Constitution, like that's not the court's job. It's not the federal government's job. They're about limiting federal power. Scalia was an outright conservative activism, meaning he wasn't going by what's straight in the Constitution, while some people claim that's what he did. What he did was actively promote or vote in a way that promoted conservative causes.
True.
Right. So he was an extremely hard – he was a hard right judge.
Yeah.
He was against same-sex marriage. He voted against – equality, he voted against women's rights, he voted against
women's reproduction rights, Citizens United, we have him to thank for. He's one of those guys that he had an effect on the court.
He's also pro-torture.
Yeah, he was very pro-torture, which I tweeted out. Yeah. Let's not forget that he defended Bush's torture tactics.
Is it too soon for me to say
enhanced interrogation?
Nah, 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 nah.
No, not at all.
Nah, 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 nah. Hey, hey, hey.
Now, him being gone.
You're dead.
You singing is more of an insult than anything else. But
to be honest with you, him gone really raises the stakes on the election, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the pundits and commentators are talking about this because the next president will likely nominate multiple judges. Not just one, but multiple judges. Mm. The balance of the Supreme Court is at risk. If Obama's as good as he is, he should nominate someone on the left.
Yeah.
The conservative hegemony of the court needs to be broken. It's time for a left-leaning
court. I hear a lot coming out from Loretta Lynch. A lot of people saying Loretta
Lynch. Loretta Lynch. Yeah. There's another guy, a South Asian guy, an Indian guy. Shri, I forgot his last name.
Lanka?
No, stop. Shri
Srinivasan.
Yeah,
Srinivasan. Yeah, Srinivasan.
Some people are saying it may be him. We'll see who it is.
Yeah, and they're considered young for judges too. Yeah, they're young. Just under 50.
Whoever he nominates, if he goes young, they'll stay in the court for a long time. And technically, Elena Kagan is an example of that. She's not that old, but she's another one of those people that it's like she'll be there for a while.
Yeah,
because you're going to set the tone of the courts for decades, not just your term, but decades.
He's elected one Supreme Court justice.
He's put Elena Kagan
and Sotomayor.
And Sotomayor. He's put two.
Okay.
Yeah, so this would be his third.
Wow. Oh, they're going to, yeah.
He said he's going to nominate.
Try to nominate.
Yeah, probably by the end of this month.
McConnell is going to say, he's basically saying already that he's going to try to block it.
Yeah, McConnell's already made McConnell. His mind.
Yeah, McConnell's a piece of shit, and he's a horrible person. Fuck him.
He's also the one that, that didn't want to give first responders the money for the medical, for their medical shit too, right?
This is one of your leaders, Republican listeners.
Somehow he manages to stay in office. Gerrymandering bullshit is what it is.
Dying in a fire. I'm all for him dying in a fire. But on better news, Anton Scalia dying is somewhat of.
I don't celebrate his death. See, like, I don't
go can't celebrate far. His
death. I may critique him, but I never celebrate the death of anyone.
Whatever. I don't give a fuck. Fuck him.
Incidentally, my birthday party that's coming up. It's going to be part. It's Scientology themed and part. Memorial to Antonin Scalia.
You have problems.
Yeah. Should I just come in dressed as like...
You have serious problems.
I'm going to wear a judge's robe.
I'm going to dress up as Uncle Phil.
From Fresh Prince?
Yeah. He was a judge. Yeah. It works. And he died too.
Oh.
Uncle Phil died earlier this year. He was a good man. I like that guy.
He has a name.
Yeah.
It's not Uncle Phil.
It's not Uncle Phil.
James Avery.
There it is. Nice.
Deadpool.
Yeah, I was going to get to. On happier news, we just got done watching Deadpool, which was pretty damn good.
It was really good.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
They really embraced the R rating, though.
Yeah.
A lot of blood.
Yeah.
Nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much Ryan Reynolds ass.
Yeah. I didn't mind my liking.
So should we just spoil it right now?
I didn't spoil anything. There's a lot of nudity.
I know, but should we spoil it right now?
Spoiler alert from this moment on.
Yeah, spoiler alert. See, you got most of the episode without us giving any spoilers, so it's good.
Unless it was good. I liked Scalia it. I enjoyed it.
Spoiler alert, Scalia's dead.
Some guy living in a bunker going, what?
I enjoyed it. It was actually not as epic as I thought it to be.
I didn't expect
it. I thought it was just really well done.
Yeah. I didn't expect it to be epic.
Well, I think for a lot of people, it wasn't. I don't think it's meant to be epic in the sense that, but it's such a stark contrast to what comic book movies are now that it hit a lot harder than people expected.
Well, one of the things they did quite well in it is that they critiqued comic book movies, not just comic books.
Yeah.
They critique comic books. So a lot of the themes, tropes that come up in comic book movies, he pointed out.
I think I think one critic said it like refreshingly self-aware or something like that.
It's very self-aware.
Very self-aware. And I think that was the charm of the movie, right? Yeah, self-aware. It's interesting because they reimagined the Deadpool character a little bit, but they didn't take away from
weird love interest. That's not.
It's like he has love interests in his past, but like the thing about Deadpool is that it's like reading Falconer in the sense that it's a very unreliable narrative, right? Or Kaiser Soze, right? It's this thing where it's like he's so fucked up in the head that he never actually knows what he says is true.
He's an unreliable narrator.
Yeah. So there's this thing where it's like he talks about, this is definitely a spoiler because he talks about in the movie. He talks about how his dad left, all this other stuff, but in the comic books he remembers about him being a young guy shooting his dad in a pool hall. Mm. His dad was like a military, like a lieutenant or something.
In the movie he said, my dad left before I was even conceived.
Mm. Yeah, you know, like little things like that. Also, it's like they injected him with this mutant hormone thing. Uh-huh. Where it's like, the stories change in the comic books, but from the origin stories that I've read, it's actually they took Wolverine's healing factor and injected it into Wade Wilson. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that he gets the name Deadpool in the comic books is that they assumed that he was dead, so they threw him into a giant pit with all the dead experiments, but it turns out he was alive. Mm. That's where he adopted the name Deadpool.
Versus
the one in the movie where it was like the bar. Right? And then also the character's a little bit different. Blind Al was always in there. Mm-hmm. It's an old white woman who lives with Deadpool. Right, kind of sassy, and then Weasel.
Is he a scar? Isn't he worse off in the comic books?
In the comic books, it's like he's like, you know, it changes depending on.
But it's like worse than just, oh, it's Ryan Reynolds.
It's more so he's completely destroyed mentally too. Like in this situation, he is completely of his faculties. Mm. Right.
I appreciated also that they accepted that he is a darker character. He kills.
Yeah. Okay. But they needed to be there's no way you could have done a Deadpool movie with a PG-13 rating.
Yeah. They embraced it very much.
It's like them doing the Punisher movies before is the fact you can't do a crazy guy like Frank Castle with a PG thing because literally all he does is go around shooting criminals.
It's also killing refreshing them. That one of the pitfalls of the comic book movie and comic books in general, is that every plot has to outdo itself.
Yeah.
So every threat it escalates, right? And at some point, it gets silly. You're like,
it's like they can't fight street criminals all the time.
Like it goes, because originally Batman was street crime, right? Yeah. All this stuff was like meant to be, and they build it up. Spider-Man, street crime, and it eventually becomes with the Avengers and all this other stuff. It gets so big that all you're doing is fighting cosmic threat after cosmic threat after so they have to get more and more creative. It's time traveling this. The person who can magically take away all mutant powers. It's like too much. It was refreshing to see Deadpool not dealing with a cosmic threat with kind of two ordinary mutants who are messing with him and his life and getting revenge on them. Like I appreciated that it went back to the roots.
Yeah, it's really funny because it is a love story.
It turns out to be a love story. I don't know.
It's a romantic comedy.
It is a romantic comedy with a lot of blood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole love montage of them fucking. Year of the Dog. And him getting
sodomized.
No, it's called. Him getting pegged. There's a whole, and it was very. At first, I thought he was dreaming that.
Yeah.
Like when it was like, I'm like, there's no way. Like he must have fallen in love with her, and he dreamt that entire thing, but it turned out to be real—a montage of him like over months.
No, it was
hooking up with this chick.
It was done really well. The opening credits were awesome. Handsome, typical Hollywood star, right? And then they showed a picture of Ryan Reynolds,
overpaid tool.
Yeah, overpaid tool for the director. They put
the real heroes, the writers,
hot girl, right? They put CGI character.
Who in this case would just Colossus.
Yeah.
I thought he was quite well done. One of your favorite characters.
Colossus has always been my favorite as a kid, but I hated the way that they depicted him in the movies because he was this white guy, just kind of like this regular white dude, and he just kind of talked, and he was just this big, strong guy who turned into metal. When in actuality, Pyotr Rasputin is this really well-to-do, poor, worked-in-the-field Russian guy.
And he's very genial. What's great about it. He's like this buff fighter who can do anything, but he's like, because of that, he's never particularly afraid. Because in the comic books, he kind of talks.
He does.
As he's fighting, like, my friend.
And the thing about him is that he is considered to be, like, him and Storm are considered to be, they're kind of like the consciousness.
Yeah.
Because, like, until he went and got the gem of Sidorak, but, like, he was considered to be this, like, he kind of represents this, like, unshakable goodness in people, right?
Storm's the same way. They're two kind of uncorruptible on the X X-Men.
I don't want to hit a lady, so please stop.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, the thing is, like, they made Colossus. It was really fun. You actually commented, like, is he going to be in the metal form the whole movie?
And
he really was metal form the whole movie. Like, they never actually brought him up.
They also bulked up the metal form a lot more.
They made him, like,
thick. Yeah, like, his neck was like a bull's neck.
Yeah. It actually looked like his arms were too short for his body.
A little bit. Also, the neck, when they bent it, it looked really fake in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
But in general, it was kind of interesting because Colossus is bigger.
Yeah.
But he's not that much bigger. He's a human.
Yeah.
He's human size. In this one, he looked juggernaut size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They made him really robust.
It was huge, huge.
I think they needed to differentiate him from Deadpool's, like, kind of more lanky. You know, like,
and then they gave him a little sidekick, a trainee.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I don't know who it was.
They call her Sonic.
Sonic something. She had like bombing powers.
Yeah. Kind of a weird. Yeah,
she was a suicide bomber. Yeah. You think about it, that's really what she was.
Yeah. He kept calling her Sinead O'Connor.
That was actually really funny. Yeah. I also love the fact that he commented on the fact there's only two big old mansion, two mutants.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be like the studio can't afford more.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really good.
Hugh Jackman shows up in that movie. Like, I mean, well,
twice.
His face shows up in the movie. He doesn't show up, but like Hugh Jackman somehow manages to find his way in the movie.
No, but I love the fact that he does comment on that.
Yeah, I love that, like, when Colossus, like, handcuffs him and is, like, taking him, he's like, all right, we're going to go to, you know, the fucking mansion or whatever. He's like, we're going to see Professor Xavier. He's like, McAvoy, our steward. Yeah. His timeline's all fucked up.
They broke the fourth wall a lot.
Yeah.
And I think they were comfortable with it.
Meant to be, yeah.
And it made it great because it meant it that we were in on the joke.
Yeah.
Right? So I think what Deadpool did, and this is why it was, I think, relatively successful, and rightfully so, it was a good direction, is Deadpool was us.
Yeah.
Right? So he's our critique of comic books.
Yeah.
He's our critique of comic book movies. He's our fanboy of, like, the moments that he's fanboying are moments that we're fanboying.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he's critiquing, it's when we're critiquing, right? So, like, the timelines are all fucked up. That's us. That's literally us going, who is it? Is it Stewart or McAvoy? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's us speaking. So he is our voice. And he's also refreshingly not good.
Yeah, I like that. I like the good Captain America.
I don't.
Because you're a piece of shit. But I like Deadpool too, because it's just like, fuck it. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. Fuck you. Leave me alone.
Well, the thing is, though, he tends towards good.
Yeah.
Right? You just can't always rely on it.
They established that before he becomes Deadpool.
Yeah.
When he's just the mercenary, right?
Oh, yeah. When he was like fucking with the
kid. Yeah. But like, he almost did this weird, like, heroes for hire thing, like Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Or the other guy, the kung fu dude.
Yeah, it's Iron Fist.
Yeah, heroes for hire, right? They're like, yeah, you need to pay us, but we only do good jobs. And he says that. It's like, I only do it to people who get to have it
covered. And he has a soft spot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He very much so, you see that he is kind of, if we had to put him on the scale of thing, he's chaotic good.
Uh-huh, right? Yeah, because he kills, but killing in a good direction.
Right? Yeah. So he's not fully evil, but the problem with Deadpool is he's notoriously unreliable is the issue, right? It's like you can't expect him to carry through. He is a fantastic assassin and mercenary, though, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
What I thought was quite well done is that they picked the one person who I think embodies that snarky, wisecracking character, and that's Ryan Reynolds. Because Ryan Reynolds really can't play anything else in my mind.
Yeah.
He every character he is, I mean,
it's Ryan Reynolds.
We have Wesley Snipes apparently to thank for it.
Yeah.
But it's literally Ryan Reynolds making these kind of snarky remarks. But for someone like Deadpool, it works.
It was perfect. It was
they took the part of Wolverine Origins that we liked of Wade Wilson, right? And they actually took, I mean, Hannibal King in Blade 3 is pretty much the same character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they basically gave him his own movie. You know, like...
They also threw in a Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And they put the sew the mouth shut, and they had the little action figure.
They did a lot of... They not only were there Easter eggs,
but
there was a lot in homages, but they did a lot of the kind of...
Yeah, they had the Green Lantern playing.
They were very comfortable critiquing comic books.
Yeah.
And I think that was fantastic.
This is what's also interesting.
He even made that comment at one point. The ensemble team, the boy
band. Oh, yeah, yeah. He made the comment about
that. And I was like,
about the movies.
He was right on with that.
Yeah. And the thing we were talking about the other night about the superhero fatigue thing, right? It's like the question of whether or not, like, we're getting a little bit tired of the comic movie. And Deadpool kind of is a send-up of those things.
Yeah.
Another change in storyline that I noticed though was that Colossus the whole time is telling him, you're going to make a good X-Men. You should join the X-Men, right? Mm. Never happens in the comics. Right. They fucking hate the guy. They never want him around. Yeah. He tries to – he literally calls himself a mutant the whole time, and every single time someone goes, you're not a mutant, Wade. Shut up. Like, and then he makes his own X-Men outfit. Mm-hmm. And they're like, where the hell did you get that? And then so they make him take it off, and then he finds an old Miss Marvel dress, and he puts it on to go and fight with the X-Men. But it's like he keeps talking about how he's an X-Men, but no one actually wants him in the X-Men. No one actually tells him that he's an X-Men. And like, you're not a mutant, you're not an X-Men. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I did enjoy the little elements of whimsy, right? So like his backpack.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like Hello Kitty backpack.
Like I love the, or like his Crocs.
Yeah.
Little elements of whimsy that I did quite well. But I think the fatigue point is really well put there, V.
Yeah.
Because, and I think this is where what Deadpool offers us, because I can tell you without a doubt that we saw a bunch of trailers and a lot of those movies I went, I don't know if I'm that excited about. So Batman versus Superman, right? Of all the Batman, of all the movies of comic books that are coming out, that's the one I should be the most excited about, because that represents...
It's your favorite superhero.
It's not just my favorite superhero. It represents my critique of Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally, I would...
God.
Yeah. In fact, if I lived in the Superman world, I would dedicate my life to destroying and killing him. Not because I'm evil, but because I think he is the single greatest threat to humanity.
Uh-huh.
Right? I sincerely believe he is too dangerous.
Pro-registration.
No, I'm not pro-registration. I'm anti-registration, which is also why I can't stand the fact that Stark is on that side. It drives me nuts, right?
Sorry, Captain Stark, America.
Stark is a, he's of all the people, he's a laissez-faire guy. Shame on him. You should know better.
He's rich.
Fuck you. But I am very anti-Superman. I think Superman is a threat to humanity. So, and I love that Batman makes that comment, right?
Yeah.
This guy is a threat. If there's even a 1% chance he can go bad, we can't allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Right? We can't hope that his ethics will keep him in line.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's literally true. Nothing else keeps him in line. Governments can't stop him. There's no check on him.
Yeah.
So I'm fully behind the Batman.
Yeah. Well, you look at it too. You look
false
at
son of false god of Krypton. That's what I'd call him. Get rid of this bastard.
Well, you look at something
I'm so bored with that movie.
Something like Watchmen. Yeah. It's an idea that's like, technically, it's like Dr. Manhattan is a god, and he can do whatever he wants. And he's about to slay Ozymandias.
Yeah.
But Ozymandias appeals to the fact that it's like it's actually better this way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And imagine that, like this, he's able to slaughter these people.
Yeah.
And it's like, imagine someone who has the ability to do that and who can justify it.
Yeah.
Even to do, if it is technically for the greater good.
Yeah. Superman going the Ozymandias route, right? So it's dangerous. It's too dangerous. But I see the trailer to that. And as much as I'm like, I'm on board. I'm like, yeah, I want to see Batman kick his ass.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of this fucking goody two-shoe. At the end of the day, I was just kind of
They're talking
about get behind Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. And Henry Cavill as Superman. Yeah, whatever.
Man of Steel. I thought it was visually stunning, but I watched it again. It's really a forgettable movie.
Very forgettable, kind of overrated.
Yeah. And
but visually stunning.
I think... And
disastrous.
Actually, what's going on right now is there's a lot of kind of things milling about that the test audiences for Batman v Superman were not impressed with the movie.
And I don't doubt that.
Yeah, and they're very... And actually, interesting enough, they said Affleck's Batman and Eisenberg's Lex Luthor were the stand-up performances.
Really?
Yeah.
So the two people we have the most doubt about, the person that we were so pissed that he was portrayed as Batman ends up being fantastic.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Heathcliff. Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking of Wuthering Heights. Right? So I'm surprised. Yeah. Maybe he will be. But really funny I doubt the Eisenberg thing.
You sit there and you hear when they say Ben Affleck, everyone goes nuts, right? Yeah. And I got a little nuts about it too. Like, I don't understand. But there are people who began to go behind Ben Affleck as things went along, and now they're kind of more behind him now that they've seen his depiction.
Well, he is a much bulkier kind of menacing
now,
Batman.
The thing what changes here, which is interesting, is the fact that now it may very well affect how the DC universe makes its movies, because they're saying that if the Batman v Superman does bomb or doesn't do as well as they hope it would, they're going to switch it and do the Batman movie first and then do Justice League, as opposed to the way around.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, this is it's fascinating to me, because I think this Deadpool is well-timed.
people who are previewing the movie already, and they're going, I doubt the Eisenberg thing. I'll see it when I believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. But people who are saying meh, I think they're suffering from not just the underwhelmed by the movie, but also from the fatigue of comic book movies, right?
And also,
I think fundamentally this is what Deadpool did, because I feel the exact same way about X-Men Apocalypse. Now everyone knows that X-Men are my favorite series.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they are, they're the one. They're my people. I think
we all agree that
X-Men are our favorite. Yeah. We're all. I love X-Men. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing a really souped up, powerful Storm, right? Because it's about time. But I got to be honest. I see the kind of...
Yeah.
And I mean, I should be behind the fact James McAvoy is going to make Ball beautiful again, right? But I watched the trailer and I'm like, nah. So I think Wade Wilson's Deadpool is well-timed. It's meant specifically to help revive our... interest in comic books to help deal with that fatigue, because it addresses the fatigue as a result of all of those criticisms, all of those failings. It addresses all of those, pokes fun at them, goes, we're aware of it. Now we all kind of have this catharsis, sigh of relief, no cosmic threat. He kills the bad guy, right? Mm-hmm. Move on.
Yeah. Here's the question though, I pose to you guys though. It's like, what is Hollywood, the actual business of Hollywood, going to do to affect this franchise? James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, actually did this thing where he was very critical of the way that Hollywood reacts to these type of movies, because it hit massive records, right? It broke records. It's one of the biggest premieres, highest grossing R-rated movie, all this other shit, right? And James Gunn goes, the thing where he goes, now because of that, Hollywood's going to be scrambling to make all these R-rated imitators and stupid inane jokes and all the type of course, things that are, of course.
But that this goes right back to what we were talking about earlier, right? And that is the effect of industry on culture, or industry on art. So that's no doubt. I mean, they're going to milk Deadpool, or the spirit of Deadpool, as much as they can.
Yeah, I'm actually going to quote him here because he put it on his Facebook. After every movie smashes records, people here in Hollywood love to throw out the definitive reason why the movie was a hit. I saw it happen with Guardians. It wasn't afraid to be fun, or it was colorful and funny, etc., etc. And the next thing I know, I hear 100 of film projects being set up to be like Guardians. And I start seeing dozens of trailers exactly like the Guardians trailer, with a big pop song and a bunch of quips. Deadpool wasn't that. Deadpool was its own thing. That's what people are reacting to. It's original. It's damn good. It was made by love by filmmakers. And it wasn't afraid to take risks. So it goes along the things where it's like, what are these suits going to do to this movie?
Yeah.
You know, like the Deadpool 2 and all this other stuff.
This, it goes right back to what we were talking about, the effect of industry on culture.
Yeah.
Right? I have no doubt that that while Deadpool will revive to a certain extent our interest in comic books, that the industry itself will kill our interest.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at that. We had kind of crazy episode, really incisive when it came to culture and industry.
And you brought up Japanese internment again.
I brought Japanese internment into it, race and gender, naturally, because I did study those two things. But we also talked about Anthony and Scalia and Deadpool. So, Diz, why don't you take us out?
No. You ruined my intro.
Get over it. Stop it. You're proving yourself to be childish yet again.
Okay, you can find us on iTunes and CurlyNerdy.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Tumblr. Search Curly Nerdy on Tumblr. CurlyNerdy.com. CurlyNerdy.com. Find us on Facebook at Curly Nerdy. Look us up on YouTube at Currently Nerdy. You can also find us Twitter at Currently Nerdy. Hashtag Ask Currently Nerdy. Always trending. Hashtag of the week is Go Fuck Yourself Diz.
Yep. Go Fuck Yourself Diz is trending.
GFY Diz. Yes. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, V, yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at VTran214. That's VYTRAN 214. Or at my blog at thesandwichslayer.com, where I do weekly blog posts about things like sandwiches and how Diz can go fuck himself. Ali?
You can catch me on my Twitter at AAOLOMI, or at my website, AliAlomi.com. For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds. That's right. You've been fired, Diz. Fuck you.
And remember, we love you.
You guys do know that I have to push the stop button, right?
You can keep dead air for 10 hours. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Find me at DizBulla. Fuck these guys. DizBullah. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds. Cocksucker.